You are listening to Ratchet and the Geek, the intersection of social media, pop culture, and technology, brought to you by Lovey from AwesomelyLovey.com. She's a humor writer, a social media strategist, and the co-founder of the Red Pump Project. And me, Scott Hanselman from Hanselman.com. I'm a software engineer, web guy, former computer science professor, and a guy with too many gadgets. And together, we will bring you everything that we know and think about TV, movies, games, gadgets, stories of fail, the dumbest tweets you've ever heard, product recommendations, and lots more. Here on Ratchet and the Geek. It's Ratchet and the Geek, show 11. We're back. How are you?
No, show 12.
No, this is show 12. Are you serious?
Yeah, because our broadcast and live show is show 11. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, excuse me. It is show 12. That's fantastic.
Yep, yep.
We're actually doing it on a semi-regular basis.
If you want to call it that.
No, we're doing okay. This is actually a very special show because this is the show where you reminded me that it was time to record.
And that never happened.
So nicely done. I just actually got off a plane, like literally got off a plane, came straight here, and now we're on the show. I was on the tarmac. The plane went out. We were getting ready to take off, and then the air conditioning stopped.
Wow.
And they turned us around. They took us all the way back to the gate. We sat there for an hour. They took us off the plane, got a replacement plane, went to the international terminal, got on the replacement plane. Went out to take off, got on the tarmac again, stopped where the weight is wrong or whatever.
What?
I don't know if it was skinny people up front or something was wrong. They turned us around, went back to the gate a second time, shifted the luggage around, and then we left 4 hours late for an hour flight.
Oh my gosh.
I was ready to drive. I was going to drive from San Francisco to Portland.
I mean, you might have beat the plane home.
I was just about there, and it was a shame because the boys were going to come pick me up, and they had their jammies on and everything, and I just texted my wife, and I was just like, forget it. Just, don't even sweat it.
They were probably all disappointed.
They were disappointed, so I have to make it up to them.
But yeah, so did you finally catch up on Scandal? It's been like a month.
Yes, I did, and I guess we can talk about it now. If you have not watched Scandal, just fast forward like 5 minutes.
Right. I mean, you don't have to fast forward 5 minutes, but, you know, I'm already suffering from summer withdrawal.
Yeah.
Like, so the
part I'm having a problem with is that the guy who created Skynet is Liv's dad. So what does that mean for the Terminator timeline?
Oh, my God. That I need you to go sit down. I thought you were about to say something for real. No, go sit down, sir.
There's something deep there. Like, I can't go watch. I'm going to go rewatch Terminator just to make sure there's not some scandal in it somewhere I didn't know about. Maybe little Kerry Washington's running around playing on the ground there when the Terminator shows up to kill the dude. I'm just saying.
I need you to get your life together, Scott. But yeah, I'm trying to fill the scandal void with other shows. So I watched ABC's newest show, Mistresses, last week.
Is that any good? It's pretty United Colors of Benetton.
It is. It's all right. Like, it's okay. I didn't watch it this week because nothing made me watch it. I actually forgot it was coming back on.
That does not bode well for the show, though.
No, but it's a remake of the UK version, and people who commented on my blog review of it said the UK version is better, and the American version is going through the storylines too quick.
Oh, see, that's why someone out there has assumed that Americans want their information differently, and rather than going with a system that works, they're going to go and skip through the whole first season of the UK stuff in a couple of episodes.
Right, or it's either that or it thinks Americans don't have any attention span. And there might be some validity to that, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But then, yeah. But have you been watching Mad Men?
You know, I keep trying to watch Mad Men, but I just don't like the time period. I mean, they're smoking everywhere, and they're mean, and
oh, my God. What are you, Mr. Rogers? What are you like?
No, I'm Mr. Not Born in 1940. I mean, these dudes are sexist pigs, and I just haven't found them to be likable yet.
They are. So, wait, you never watched the other seasons?
No, I went through, like, 3 episodes of Mad Men, and I got tired of it, and then I went and I've been watching Arrested Development. Just to try to catch up.
Yeah, that is on my Netflix queue because everyone's been telling me to watch it. So it's it's on my list of must watch.
You know, actually, given yours and my proclivity for catchphrases and stuff, you and I really should bust through a couple of these just so like I could say there's always money in the banana stand and what? have that mean something to you.
Oh my God.
Like that's I'm telling you, like you need to go and watch at least the first two episodes and then come back and then tell me that there's always money in the banana stand. And you watch, our show commenters are going to bust up at this, believe me.
Speaking of show commenters, we owe Robin a shout out.
We do.
Robin Lauren.
Yes. We love our show commenters. I think there's something like 10,000 people that listen to the show, but there's 5 people that comment regularly. So we love those 5 people, and you know, we have nothing to say for the other 10,000 people.
And you know what? Shout out to Clifton Craig, too. So we
just this show to is for Clifton Craig out. Because Clifton will not let us die.
No, no. And I love Clifton for it. He's like, where y'all at? I'm like, listen.
Okay. And you know, every time he does, I call you. I'm like, we need to do a show. Clifton is at home waiting for the show.
Because Clifton was like, 7 days ago, he was like, it's gone almost a month and there's no updates. Yeah. I know, Clifton. Keep us together, Clifton. Thank you.
You know, and we have no business not doing a show. I've been telling you this. You just sit down and we just do our thing and it'll be fine. I'll give you another example of us not doing a show. We're going to be together in New York next week.
Yes.
Talking about the show. We're going to be doing a talk at Blogging While Brown about podcasting. And you know, I will say, hey, we should do a show while we're here. And you're going to say, it's too soon.
Probably. Probably.
Will. And then I will be in San Francisco the next week. So that'll mean we'll go 2 weeks without a show. So it's funny because we're going to be up on stage talking about how the way to have success in a podcast is what? Consistency.
Sure. And we have none of it.
As long as, yes, because those who can't teach.
Exactly. It's like do as I say, not as I do.
That is the Ratchet and the Geek way.
Yes. Because I'm like, I know we're supposed to. We'll get our lives together.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
While we're at Blogging While Brown, the day before the whole shebang kicks off, there's an all-white party.
Now, I'm uncomfortable with this. I'm already uncomfortable being the white guy at the Black Bloggers Conference. Then I hear there's an all-white party, and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with that information.
You're supposed to find an all-white outfit to put on and step. Just think about the R. Kelly video, Step in the Name of Love.
So this is wrong on so many levels. First, if I get any whiter, I'm going to be transparent.
Pretty much.
And white on white, white on peach, as my son says. White on peach is not exactly attractive for my complexion. Then y'all gonna make sure we already know I can't do the wobble. Now we're gonna prove that
can't
I can't
do the wobble.
No, I can't
wobble. And I guarantee you there will be the wobble at an all white party.
I know
it's going down.
I know, so it's gonna be uncomfortable. I'm gonna have to not wobble, and then I'm gonna have to not step in the name of love, which is just gonna be a problem because. I told you that I got my 23andMe genetic testing results back.
Did you really?
I am only 0.2% black.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You actually got your test? Stop.
Well, I mean, we did it for my diabetes information and to kind of figure out, you know, what the disease is and kind of like family genetic history is. Mm-hmm. But it also puts on a map what you are. So my dad is Northern European and my mom is Southern European and that's basically it. And then it's like 0.2% Niger. And I'm like, what exactly is 0.2%? Like, you know what I mean? Like that's pretty small. Like that's how much caramel coloring is in a Diet Coke. It's pretty small. It's mostly just water.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You should get together to do that.
Because, you know, people have actually accused me of being, like, having some Asian in my family because my eyes are so slanted. Mm. I'm like, I promise you, I'm pretty sure I'm like, 100% Nigerian, but you never know.
You should check. There's some Chinese workers down there.
Oh, my God. Let me find out. Because my whole family has slanted eyes.
Then you know that Mr. Chan...
I need, send me the link.
You better call your grandmama real quick.
Yo, I can, yeah, I'm going to have yeah, to ask some questions.
I'll send you the link, but it's the number 23, like for chromosomes, 23 chromosomes, mm-hmm. andme.com. I'm going to do a blog post about it.
Yeah, because I think I'm gonna do this. I'm going to find out I'm like 0.2% mm-hmm. Asian. I'll be like, well.
Yeah, enter the dragon.
Crouching tiger, hidden Asian. Yes.
There's nothing wrong. That's cool. I mean, this is the thing, though. It talks about where you're from and where you're going. It talks about the potential for, you know, you might have Alzheimer's or celiac. You know, everybody's got something, right? Nobody gets out of the genetic lottery.
That is scary. I don't know if I want to know. Hell.
Well, this is the thing, though. If you have it, knowing or not knowing doesn't change the fact that it's out there. So I would much rather know if I had the potential for something in 20 years that I can maybe work on nutrition or whatever now. And especially, no? You just want to wake up with Alzheimer's one day?
Like, if I knew there's like some high chance of me getting Alzheimer's, I will spend my days thinking about the fact that I'm going to go senile one day. No.
Well, see, I have diabetes, and if my sons have the potential for diabetes, I want to know now so I can get them in programs and in, you know, like genetic tests and stuff to maybe postpone that.
Yeah.
Seriously, you know that Alzheimer's is actually, they're saying it might be type 3 diabetes, that you can change
your... Are you serious?
Yeah, go search for Alzheimer's, type 3 diabetes. They're saying that you could change your diet, and that could change your chances for Alzheimer's. Just as an example.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, what I like about this particular thing on 23andMe is that they will send you emails as they run tests that are newer tests. So it's not like a one-time report. It's like it's like a living document. They've sequenced your genome, and then when they do another test, like they told me that I can taste bitter tastes, which is like totally valuable information. Like, yes, you have the genetic marker for tasting bitter things. It's silly, but like every once in a while, they'll come out with something else that's like, you know, you have fast twitch muscle fibers versus slow twitch.
That's so, a little bit weird. So certain sprinter. Things like that, I might not want to know about myself.
You don't want to know if you're a sprinter or if you're like, well, you're probably a sprinter.
I am a sprinter, actually. Yeah,
you got the skinny girl problems.
Yep. And I'm built like a sprinter. But yeah, so...
This all white party, though. I do not have the genetic markers to do the step. I'm bringing my Hillman t-shirt, though.
Yes. Okay, so me and Scott both have the Hillman College t-shirt. Hillman College is where they went on the show A Different World.
Right.
And it's funny because like a couple of weeks ago, Scott Instagrammed a picture of his Hillman t-shirt that he got from the interwebs. And I was like, oh, snap, I have the same t-shirt.
Yes, I thought it was so special, and you already had them, like, you had purchased these long ago.
Right, I have a lot of clothes I don't wear until, like, months or years after. So I was just like, oh, I'll Instagram mine, too. So then everybody was like, we want a Hillman t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. So then I had to go and get a Gordon Gartrell.
Which he has on right now, and I was cracking up when I saw him on Skype wearing it.
Yeah, I flew today with that. And actually, when I went through TSA, the TSA lady gave me the side eye and demanded to know what state Hillman was in.
Did you tell her?
I was like, I looked at her like I was all indignant. Like, everybody knows that Hillman's in rural Virginia. And then after my talk, I gave this talk when I was in San Francisco. This guy comes up to me and he goes, did you go to Hillman? And he kind of looked at me funny. But it was a black guy. And he looked
at
me funny.
That's hilarious.
And I said, well, you know, I couldn't get into Morehouse. And he laughed.
And you have an acceptance letter and everything.
I do have a Hillman acceptance letter. That is true.
Oh, yes. My God.
It was a affirmative action, though. So.
Right. You were the token white dude. It's all right.
Yeah. Well, me and... what's her name?
Marissa Tomei. I didn't know Marissa Tomei was just white. I thought she was actually Latina.
No, she's Italian.
That's different.
What do you mean different? Different than Latina, maybe, but it's not different than white.
Yeah, huh? To me, somehow it is.
Italian is different than white?
Absolutely, to me. Honestly.
We're going to have to go back to the genetics to check, but I'm pretty sure that anything coming out of Europe's white, so.
Yeah, but, you know, like, I don't see Italians. Italians, I feel like they're, I don't know, it's kind of like Mediterranean. It's like Greeks. I don't see Greeks as white in the sense of like Eastern European and Northern European.
What about people in Spain?
They're Spanish.
See, this is funny. White, how come like German, French, you know, Ireland, Scotland, those are white people for you. Spain, you're Spanish.
Spanish.
Greek, you're Greek. Italian, you're Italian.
Italian.
These countries have a racial identity for you, but I can't say I'm Scottish.
I ain't say you can't say you Scottish, but to you me, just, Scottish just says white. It makes no type of logic.
When did Northern Europe become just white?
Honestly, whenever I see, like, if I see someone who looks Italian, they're slightly darker. Like, they have a little bit more melanin in their skin. They have darker features.
Sure.
So they don't necessarily translate so much as white.
You know,
and then
everyone, people keep thinking that I'm Jewish. This happens all the time. All the time. I don't know if it's the last name or if it's my attitude. I had a woman accuse me of being Jewish. Like, that was like, I'm not sure if that's a good accusation or not. I didn't know what to say. She's like, are you Jewish? And I'm not Jewish, but I was just messing with her. So I just said, well, I'm not a Jew. I'm Jew-ish.
You are dumb. I actually could see you being Jewish. I could.
Well, I'm apparently anything other than white is exciting, so I'm going to have to mix it up now.
Right, add some extra things in there. I'm Greek and, yeah, no.
I actually had a buddy of mine in Australia who when I got married, he's like, oh, I'm in an interracial relationship as well. And I was like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, my wife is Greek.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like, he claims her as being another, yeah, so that was pretty interesting.
Bless him. Bless his heart.
You got to just nod and smile.
Basically, just like, you know what? I'm going to let you have it.
Yeah, but we have to wear our helmet shirts on Saturday, okay?
Are we? Oh, my God. You know what?
Wear
cool.
It. No, we got to wear it. I'm going to actually put it into the presentation. So if you got to wear something over it and then like unveil or whatever, but Saturday we're on stage Hillman. We got to do a little Hillman step routine.
Oh my God, I'm not. You can't even do the wobble, Scott. You can't step. Fine, I will bring my Hillman T-shirt.
All right, good. This will be good. That's so the only way they're going to be able to tell me from everybody else, though.
Right, the Hillman shirt.
Yeah.
You have to see. You understand that this changes my shoe game, right?
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to find like a maroon shoe or some kind of
I already have it. I have maroon and white Chucks already.
Well, then that's going to go great with the maroon Hillman shirt.
Yeah, but, you know, I wasn't planning on bringing them to New York, so now I'm going to have to bring them and stuff.
That's
but okay.
The thing. Yeah, yeah. Well, I got to go find white pants.
That is true.
I was not prepared. Now, I don't know if Old Navy has white pants.
Oh, my God. That can't be your only store.
Well, I'm about to rent some pants. I don't know where I'm going to buy them.
Rent a pant.
I can't justify spending, like, you know, money on pants I'm never going to wear again. White people don't wear white pants.
Y'all don't go on yachts and whatever?
Like, yeah, those are my people, my yachts. Like, this is where I get to be all racially indignant. Like, we all have yachts.
Like, we all have yachts. How dare you?
That is so rude.
Like, you mean to tell me this whole time I thought you had a yacht? Damn, Scott, you a wasted friend, okay? I was really excited to be invited to your yacht party.
You wanted to get into white Twitter and have cucumber sandwiches.
Yes, and I wanted to wear my seersucker shorts with boat shoes. Damn it, Scott. Where am I going to wear them to now? I had plans.
You know, we're all assigned boat shoes at birth.
I thought so. that's what I thought. Like, Sperry topsiders are the only acceptable ones.
This is true. This is totally true. Oh, actually, speaking of racial bizarreness, I was at Twitter today, like Twitter headquarters, because I was in San Francisco.
Because he fancy.
There's no way to say I'm speaking at Twitter today without coming off like a jerk. But on the real though, check this out. This is a true story. I'm at Twitter and I'm setting up, right? And my homepage is Twitter. Don't ask. So I launch my browser and it comes up and they see my tweets. Okay, and I'm in front of 70 Twitter engineers and they see that I have 80,000 tweets. And they go, and like they audibly gasp. And I'm like, what's going on? And they said, well, you have 80,000 tweets. That's a lot. And I said, oh, you don't even know how.
Right.
So I went to, you guess who's, guess whose post I brought up? Guess whose Twitter page I brought up?
Was it mine?
No, no, you don't have that many tweets. If you're going to bring up someone's tweets who has a lot.
Ms. Gia?
I was thinking about Gia, but I can't guarantee it won't be something inappropriate in her
That's
photos.
That's true. That's
so
true.
So I brought up Christine.
Steen Fox.
250,000 tweets.
Woo.
Turns out, I don't think Twitter knows about Black Twitter.
Are you serious?
So then I said, again, 70 actual Twitter engineers in the room. I said, this is all before the talk. Do you guys know about jail accounts?
Oh, my gosh.
They didn't know.
What?
Jail accounts, for the people who are listening, are when you get rate limited because you tweet too much. And what's great about Steen and people like Steen who tweet a lot is that not only do they have accounts that they fall back on when they tweet too much, they have, she's got one that's like the lawyer for her jail account, which is the one when her jail account fills up that she
then.
Yes, it's like Steen's lawyer.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, yes. I knew someone, remember Courtney Starburst had 4 jail accounts because she used to blow the rate limiting on Twitter so much.
Wow.
Yes, they don't realize this is going on. It's a beautiful thing. It's truly underground Twitter.
What did they say to you?
They found it difficult to believe. They had no idea that people were using Twitter that hardcore.
Oh my God.
Now, Twitter's thousands of people, and this was right. 70 engineers that were there to see me talk. So there might be someone there who knows, but none of the rank and file. Most of these people don't even use their own product.
Right, because they're too busy working on it.
They're working on it. These guys were like low-level engine people. Like, this is the engine room. They've never seen topside on the ship.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. But that was down there, actually, when they unveiled, when I was in San Francisco, coincidentally, when iOS 7 got unveiled. Did you see what that looks like?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, I the first thing I said was if I wanted an Android phone, I would have bought one.
I have an Android phone, and my phone is better than iOS 7.
But it looks like iOS 7 looks like an Android phone now.
Exactly, and that I don't know why they did that. Tim Cook is failing on this right now.
So you're not liking it.
What made Apple was the fact that it stood out from the pack.
Mm.
Now it looks like the pack.
Right, and the home screen looks like Android, and the clock looks like Android, and the multitasking looks like a Palm Pilot or a Windows phone. And it's like, are all of our phones just kind of combining into this one boring, thin typeface world?
Yeah, and here's my prediction. I predict that Tim Cook will get fired in the next 2 years as Apple's head dude.
That's a bold prediction.
It is.
I can't co-sign that.
I will say it just because Apple at his control is just a completely different company, and not in a good way.
Mm.
I don't see it as in a good way.
I don't know. The phone is what it is. I mean, it's a paradigm shift. It's a design shift. I thought that the thing that was more disturbing was the new Mac Pro. Did you see the design of this thing?
Oh, I hated it. Oh, yeah. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much.
It looks like a diaper genie.
Yes, it does. A black diaper genie.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's like a little pill or a coffin of some kind. I put on Twitter that I cried when they shot Spock away in the in the new Mac Pro, because it looks like that black coffin that they put him in and then sent him out into space. I mean, it was really sad.
Well, you're saying so. You said, you know, the big difference in iOS 7 is design. That's been Apple's main thing and separate from everything else.
Right, but this is the thing. People either love it or they hate it. Like, for some reason, it's very polarizing. Like, some people were saying, oh, Scott, you're crapping on this because you're Microsoft or whatever. But, I mean, I have an iPhone, and this thing's going to get upgraded to iOS 7 because it has to be. It's going to happen automatically. People either love these new designs or they hate them. There doesn't seem to be anyone in the middle.
I've heard of very few people who like, we love it.
Well, I mean, people who love Apple, I suppose. The thing is that I'm non-denominational. You know what I mean? Like, I know people that are all like Team Android, right? So if you read the Android blogs, they're crapping on it. And if you read the Apple blogs, they're for it. But, I mean, I'm a guy who has an Xbox, and I have iPads, and I have iPhones, and I've got a Surface. I mean, I just use whatever makes me happy.
Right.
So, and I'm more frustrated with them not getting along than I am about the individual design issues. Like, I'm more frustrated when my Windows machine won't talk to my iPhone or my Gmail account won't sync with my Surface.
Right.
But interoperations are more frustrating to me than design issues.
But see, I'm also not crazy team Android or crazy team Apple because I have a MacBook, I have an iPod Touch, but then I carry a Samsung S3.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like on both ends. I love Android's function as a phone. I think it's a better phone than iPhone 5 or whatever. But then I'm a Mac groupie for my computers.
Yeah, so. You hate, like, you're on Windows 8 right now on this machine, and you...
God, I hate it.
You got freaked out by Skype just now.
I was like, what is this new Skype? I'm not a fan of Windows 8. I think it's janky.
And see, I like it because I don't spend any time in the full screen world. Like, there's two worlds in Windows 8. There's the desktop and then with full screen.
Right.
And full screen's fine if I'm on a Surface, right? Because it's a tablet.
Exactly.
It's when you're on the desktop. And that's
on the desktop, it's a fail.
Apparently, they're changing that. Windows 8.1 is going to be a free upgrade, I guess, later this year.
Ooh. That's gonna,
yeah. So they're going to change a bunch of stuff. The thing that I thought was the coolest is, you know, like your wallpaper? Like right now, I've got like a fountain. If I push the Windows button, it goes purple, and suddenly I'm over in like icon world. And it's very confusing. They're going to let you keep your desktop as the background. So instead of switching to this whole new screen, it'll be kind of transparent, and you'll be able to see through, and you'll have your desktop background. So I think like little subtle things like that are going to make it easier for people to transition.
Oh, but you know, on the whole Microsoft thing, I'm still a fan of Microsoft, like in terms of their, whatchamacallit, the Microsoft Office suite.
Yeah, you're definitely Office.
2010 is off the hook.
Yeah.
It's really good because that 2007 was a mess.
See, I need to get you 2013. There's some very cool stuff in 2013.
Ooh. Yes, please.
We will talk.
Yes, let us talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Actually, speaking of things to talk about, I got an email. I check my Google Plus very rarely, and I went to my Google Plus today, and it says I have 14 days to decide if I want a Google Glass.
Huh. So are you going to get it?
But here's the deal. I'm like, okay, right. Well, yeah, free stuff. Cool. Turns out they want me to pay them.
Yep.
$1,500. I'm like, okay, well, I'm thinking maybe I can have like a donation thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that after you pay them, you have to pick it up in person. In person. So you have to go to Mountain View or go to Los Angeles or New York and then sit through an appointment where they train you on how to use the glasses.
Well, you're going to be in New York next week. Maybe you can pick it up.
$500?
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I low-key don't even understand Google Glass.
I mean, I get, if I had like Google contact lenses, I would be all up around. I mean, I would love that, right?
Why?
Because I would have like a map overlaid over my eyeball.
That is freaky and gross.
But then I wouldn't get lost.
That's gross. I can't.
Well, you wouldn't see it. It's not gross to you.
But it would just be freaky as hell to me to be able to, like, the fact that my freaking field of vision will have a map overlay. That's freaky.
But don't you like science fiction things where, like...
No.
Like, you know, like Iron Man when he's got all those maps in front of his eyes?
No, I hate it.
Oh, that's a shame.
I hate it, which is why I'm just like, the whole Google Glass thing freaks me out. So even if I was given a free Google Glass, I'd probably just be like, no.
There's no way my wife is going to go for $1,500. I mean.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
I can't even see it. I mean, and much less that, I live in a little tiny town. Like, you know, I don't live in Portland proper. I live in like. The boondocks. All the
way. In the boondocks, right.
Yes. Or as my wife says in her African tongue, Ubundu. You know? Ubundu. Like way out in the middle of nowhere. I would be the only dude with a Google Glass within like 100 miles. And that's just going to make me even weirder. I'm already the weird dude in town.
Are you really?
Oh, yes. I'm like, you know, there's like, well, there's another dude as a Segway. But I'm going to...
Okay. Remember when Segway was coming down, they were like, it's going to revolutionize the way we travel and get around.
We're going to build entire towns around it.
No. Just complete fail.
Did you see the Saturday Night Live where Fred Armisen did his Google Glass guy, like, impression? Basically, you throw your head up in the air to make the glass talk to you, right? There's like a gesture. You like... Well, here you go. You know the black glance, right?
The black what?
Black glance.
No.
Black glance, when two black folks in a white town see each other.
Oh, okay.
Right. When you do the black glance and you flip your head up like that, you're like, what's
up?
Oh,
the head nod. Okay.
It's a nod up, though. Right? Huh. So that glance, that's what you do to make it listen to you.
Okay.
See, that is what you do. You move your head in that way, and that wakes up Google Glass.
That's just...
So you go, and then like
you're like, that does not sound appealing to me in the least bit.
It's pretty funny, actually, now that I think about it. But that's the motion you make with your head to make Google Glass wake up, and then you talk to it. You tell it what you want it to do.
God, that's freaky. No, thank you. I'm good.
Yeah. I think there was a Langston Hughes poem called Black Glance. That's where that term came from, by the way, for those of you who care.
Yeah, no, I'm good on Google Glass. I mean, we're already a freaking disconnected society. Imagine with everyone who's walking around with Google Glass. That's just so strange.
Mm-hmm.
So strange. So, yeah, no. But, yeah, so my social media recommendation for this week. So, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Twitter actually, they kicked off the two-step authentication.
Thing. Ooh, this is good because I just turned two-factor authentication on for Google, for Windows Live, and for Dropbox. Dropbox turned it on too.
Ew. Yeah, well, Twitter did it because all these brands kept on being like, we got hacked. So now to turn it on, you go to your settings, okay. You just check it.
And I'm looking now. Okay, I'm there.
They'll ask for your password at the bottom. If you want to turn it on, okay. And then what it'll do is for you to sign into Twitter at any time, it'll ask for your password, and then it'll ask you for a code that it texts to your phone.
I don't have this option yet. Oh, what? There it is. There it is. Boom. You go to device, you click on password, and there's a thing that says associate your phone with Twitter for enhanced security.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So for now, it's text messaging.
Yeah, right now it's text messaging. But here's the thing with that is, like, if you're a brand and you have multiple community managers,
yes,
that's going to post to be a little bit of a problem because one person, only one phone can be associated with any Twitter account. Mm. So if you are the 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. shift for Zappos, mm-hmm. you have to, if your phone is not the one that has the authentication, then you have to get that text to you.
Right.
It becomes a pain in the butt, so hopefully they try to make it a little bit more friendly for co-managers.
Yes, yes. There's a thing called Google Authenticator that does that QR code-based authentication.
Oh,
that,
God.
But bear with me for a second. What the idea is that you point your phone with this app at the QR code, and then what it does is it generates a new password every 30 seconds for you. You see? Huh. You never have to do the QR code again. So if I log into like Hotmail, I put in my name and my password, and then it says, what's your secret code? And then I go to my phone, you could be Android or iPhone or whatever, and it'll show you a 6-digit number, and that number changes like every 30 seconds or every minute. And that's called a TOTP code.
See, my thing is, I'm not here for QR codes. They're still trying to make it a thing, but it's just not catching on.
I think this is worth checking out. I did a whole blog post about why, if not QR code, something else. But the point being that we need two-factor authentication that doesn't require somebody to text me.
Right.
Right. We need a way to have a time-based password where, like I was on the train and on the BART in San Francisco today, maybe I can't get a text message because I'm in the tunnel or whatever, but I still have something I need to unlock.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, I have it activated. The cool thing is, well, the cool thing and slightly maybe secure lapse thing is the fact that it doesn't do the same thing for apps.
So on your phone. How do you do it for apps then?
It doesn't.
So there's no auth for apps?
No.
So well, then like that's no security
phone,
at all.
Exactly. So on my phone, I never have to get a text message about authentication. So I'm not sure how they're going to make that work together.
What if you log out of your phone's app completely and then log in from scratch? Maybe it's because your phone has already been logged into once.
Right, but imagine if somebody ends up with your phone.
Well, so do you want to make it so you have to log in every time?
Nah, I don't. I'm just saying that's like a little loop into that.
And the way that Google and Google Plus and Hotmail get around that is with these one-time passwords where they generate a long password for you. That's only good for one use. You know, it's like an application-specific password.
Gotcha. But
it's a problem. I think the point being, though, that even the fact that we are talking about this for 4 minutes is people like you and I might care, or a Pepsi or some big brand might care, but is our non-technical parent going to be cool with two-factor authentication? Probably not.
Right.
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be difficult to make it work for everybody, make it easy for everybody. Maybe if it's built into the operating system, right? Maybe if the authentication app is built into the next iPhone or the next Android, that might be a way to make this really happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, what technical tip you got?
I went and hired a transcription service. They're Rev, R-E-V, Rev.com. And I had them caption my YouTube videos. And they're really cool. And I went up and wrote a blog post about captioning and closed captioning and how you can do it. And I went and crowdsourced the captioning of another podcast that I've got called This Developer's Life. And basically people are typing the transcripts up. So I'm trying to figure out if there's a way for us to, like, free or cheap, if they want to, have people transcribe this podcast. That way, you know, deaf and hard of hearing people could potentially waste a whole bunch of time listening to us talk or reading us talk.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it worked really well. There's even a really cool system called Amara that people who have YouTube videos can use, where you can hook it up to your YouTube, just like you can connect an app to Twitter. You can connect this app to your YouTube account. And then if your audience transcribes your video for you, it will automatically update your video with the transcription.
Oh, wow.
So definitely a great way on the cheap to get your YouTube videos watched by more people. But it also makes it so people can search for the text of what you're saying. So it's good for SEO. If you've got a podcast and you need better SEO, then, you know, publish a transcript.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at Blogging My Brown next week.
Yeah, so that should be really good. I'm looking forward to seeing the homies again.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be cool. This is year four for me?
Year five for me. Wait, let me think. This will be my fifth Blogging While Brown, because I started going in 2009.
Yeah, and you haven't... Actually, you haven't missed one yet, have you?
I have not.
Yeah, this one was touch and go.
That was year two. Yeah. Pretty cool.
And we met at the first... At 4 years ago, we met there. Is that where we met?
3 years ago, I think.
Well, 4 years now. But yeah, 3 years.
This is
the fourth one or the third one?
This is our fourth one that we've been at together.
2010. Yeah, you're right. Mm. See, I don't even know. Time is going too fast.
So yeah, it should be good. We'll see. It's typically a really good conference. Next week, June 24th. First to the 22nd, June 20th to 21st. What's the dates?
It's 20th for the pre-con, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. So it's kind of like a Blogging While Brown weekend. Basically, 22nd, 23rd is when our stuff is going to be. We're speaking on Saturday, 22nd.
Oh, yeah, that's true, 22nd.
Yeah. But I'm going to get going a little early, so I'll be in New York on Thursday. And I don't know, when are you getting in?
I get to New York Friday morning because I'm actually... going to be at a Sony event all day on the 20th. So, yeah, I'll be there early in the morning. Well, not early. It's around 10 p.m. No, 10 a.m. in the morning.
Okay, cool. I get there at 2 o'clock on Thursday. I'm going to kind of see who I can see and just make myself available. Wander around. I want to, you know, go see the New Harlem, go Red Rooster, hang out, see the homies.
And when are you leaving New York?
Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
After brunch, after the...
Yes, the traditional brunch that we always have.
Yes, we brunch hard.
We sure do.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm tired because I've been traveling a lot, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody again.
Cool. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So you got a week to go find you an outfit for this all-white party.
In Portland, Oregon, I need to buy a white outfit. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I will look forward to find out what you end up rocking.
I need to figure out if I spend more time looking for this outfit or more time trying to step.
That, you know what? Go watch some YouTube videos.
I'm just going to go watch Step in the Name of Love right now.
And Google the wobble. I expect that you will know it before next week.
I can't handle this training. It's too complicated. This is a problem.
You can do it. Now. Ha! I am so mad you queued it up.
Well, I just Googled for it. It's a good... See, I don't know if I could wear that outfit because you got the do-rag underneath the hat.
Okay, please don't do the do-rag. Thank you. Like,
all right. I think that's another show right there.
Yes, indeed. So thank you guys for listening and leave us comments.
All right. Please, please, please leave us comments. And I guess who knows when the next one will be, but it's going to be awesome.
Basically. And catch us on the Twitters and all that stuff.
All right, cool. Bye-bye, everybody.
Peace.